Let's talk a little bit about the types of testing that are done. I see that you were part of a poster at the ASCO meeting that looked at local and central testing within the CheckMate 142 study. What do we know right now about how people are testing and what the best way is to test?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think what we know is that there's two different methodologies that are kind of standardly utilized. One of them is looking at the proteins themselves. So are the repair enzymes present? And to do that, the immunohistochemistry test can be done. There's four proteins that are part of the mismatch repair complex. And so the IHC is a fairly simple test of looking for expression of those four proteins. With some subtleties there, most of the time it's a bit of a binary result. It's either present or absent. And if any one of them are absent, then that defines a MSI high phenotype. The other test is a test that actually looks at the consequence of a deficient mismatch repair system. So it's actually a kind of a phenotypic test. And that's looking at these regions called microsatellites that I kind of view as the canary in the coal mine of DNA repair, right? So this old, that miners were worried about the air quality in the mine, they would have a canary. If the canary keeled over from problems, then that meant the air was bad. So what we're looking at are regions that are really prone to DNA repair problems. And so if we see these regions, these microsatellites that are really hard to replicate because of the mononucleotide and dinucleotide repeats, if there is a problem with DNA repair, this is the place that they'll be seen. And so the idea is you look at the most sensitive regions of the DNA. So the test itself is really just looking at how reliably replicated these regions are. And it's a PCR test that I think is fairly standardized and available in several different labs. Now, there's pros and cons to this, right? The PCR test, you need normal tissue. That's not always available. You either have to draw blood or have normal tissue from the colon. But that the data suggests that if you've got a really good source of tissue, that either of those tests are probably appropriate. Now, we run into problems when we're doing small biopsies, as we talked about in the poster. But that really, I think, in clinical practice, what we're dealing with is surgical specimens where there's, or endoscopic biopsies, where there's enough material to make these determinations.
Now, these assays, they determine whether the alterations in the tumor or also germline or both.
Right. So that's a great question, and that because there is always a little bit of uncertainty about, well, what does this mean for a patient's family? Both of these tests really are just looking at whether or not there's a microsatellite instability phenotype. Then the second step is really to determine, is there a familial component? Is this a sporadic MSI high, remembering that most are, or is it a hereditary MSI high like the Lynch syndrome that needs to be pursued? So to do that actually requires additional testing. That's when we bring in genetic counselors and actually do sequencing of the patient's germline to understand if there are any mutations detectable in those genes.
So just getting back to this effort focused on the 142 study, what did you find in terms of correlation between the local assessment and central?
Right. So I think one of the things that we learned in this setting is that you have to really have good tissue to start with for some of these tests. What was seen is that if you take these small core biopsies and try to do PCR tests that require a fair bit of tissue, these tests can fail. And this is a situation that's unlike others where we actually at the end of the day said, you know what, the local testing that was done on the primary tissue may be better than trying to do it on these small fragments of a biopsy. And so specifically what we saw was that even in those tumors that didn't have central confirmation, patients still responded, meaning that these were still MSI high patients. It's just that we have to be careful of the type of tissue that we put into these tests.
And I'm going to guess that the primary is pretty much the same as the MET?
Correct. Yes. This is a feature that is universal in the primary and the metastases, so it's maintained. So as a clinician, if you have tissue available from either source, you're fine to test either one. And the really focus is on where do you have the most tissue.
You mentioned the two different methodologies. Which do you prefer and which do you recommend to a general oncologist?
So the immunohistochemistry test, I think, is the fastest in many settings. It's probably the cheapest and easiest to interpret. It has very good concordance with the other methodology. So what I do in my practice is just do the immunohistochemistry, but on all patients who come in the door. And really then only if I have a patient that is really early onset or there's some other high concern for a hereditary syndrome, it's only in those situations where I'm just a little concerned that the test may be wrong that I do the additional PCR test. But that very rarely are those discordant.
Do you prefer, do you recommend to have the results of this before you make a decision to start first-line therapy in metastatic disease?
Yeah, it's a great question. And we try to get this testing done as fast as we can. The approval for the PD-1 inhibitors is kind of second line and beyond. And there's still some benefit in chemotherapy in these patients. And so we don't feel too, if the testing's not available before we start treatment, that's okay. And I think that we still see patients that respond to PD-1 inhibitor after some initial first-line chemotherapy. Now, there's studies ongoing asking that question, actually, is PD-1 better than chemotherapy? Or even, can you combine that with chemotherapy? So the idea that maybe the combination off the bat will be the best.